When it became apparent that the British intelligence system was riddled with Russian spies, the CIA turned the cold shoulder. Thus, a background of shifting superpower politics was established, in which the moth-eaten British lion was unwillingly taught his place in the scheme of things by the new ringmaster, Uncle Sam. I suppose you could blame the Suez Crisis and the Turing debacle, or Nixon's paranoia, but in 1958, when the UK offered to extend the 1945 treaty to cover occult intelligence, the US government refused. My colleagues in GCHQ listen in on domestic US phone calls, compile logs, and pass them across the desk to their NSA liaisons, who are forbidden by charter from spying on domestic US territory. In return, the NSA echelon listening posts give GCHQ a plausibly deniable way of monitoring every phone conversation in Western Europe. After all, they're not actually listening. They're just reading transcripts prepared by someone else, aren't they? But in the twilight world of occult intelligence, we aren't allowed to cooperate overtly. I don't have a liaison here, any more than I'd have one in Kabul or Belgrade. I'm technically an illegal, albeit on a tourist visa. Any nasty reality excursions are strictly my problem. On the other hand, the days of midnight insertions, bailing out of the back door of a bomber by midnight and trying not to hang your parachute up on the Iron Curtain, are gone for good. Gone, too, are the days of show trials for captured spies. If I get caught, the worst I can expect is to be questioned and put on the first flight home. My way into the country was more prosaic than a wartime parachute drop, too. I flew in on an American Airlines MD-11, filled out the visa waiver declaration, occupation, civil servant, purpose of visit, work assignment. And no, I was not a member of the German Nazi Party between 1933 and 1945, and entered via the arrival hall at San Francisco Airport. Which is how I find myself watching the pelicans on the pier at Santa Cruz, sipping my beer sparingly, waiting for Mo to manifest himself, and trying to figure out just why a British academic should be having so much trouble coming home as to need our help, not to mention why the laundry might be taking him seriously. I'm not the only customer in the bar, but I'm the only one with a beer and a copy, unopened, of Philosophical Transactions on Uncertainty Theory lying in front of me. That's my cover. I'm meant to be a visiting post-grad student come to talk to the prof about a possible teaching post. So when Mo walks in, he should have no difficulty identifying me. There are 6 professors of philosophy at UCSC, 1 tenured, 2 assistant, and 3 visiting. I wonder which of them he is. I glance around idly, just in case he's already here. There are 2 grunge metal skateboard types in the far corner, drinking Bud Miller Coors and comparing body piercings. The town's swarming with them, nothing to take note of. A gentleman in a plaid shirt, chinos, and short haircut sits on a bar stool on his own, back ramrod straight, reading the San Jose Mercury News. That dings my suspicion-o-meter because he looks very company in a casual Friday kind of way. But if they were tailing me, why in hell would they make it so obvious? He might equally well be an affluent local businessman. A trio of nerd girls, with shaven scalps and unicorn forelocks, compare disposable tattoos and disappear into the toilet one by one, going in glum and coming out giggly. Must be a Bolivian marching powder dispenser, or a mendicant sin-eater or something in there. I shake my head and sip my beer, then look up just as a rather amazing babe with classic red hair leans over me. Mind if I take this chair? I'm trying desperately to think of an excuse, because my contact is looking for a single man with a copy of PTUT on the table in front of him, but she doesn't give me the time. You can call me Mo. You'd be Bob. Yeah, have a seat. I blink rapidly at her, stuck for words. She sits down while I study her. Mo is striking. She's a good 6 feet tall, for starters. Strong features, high cheekbones, freckles, hair that looks like you could wrap it in insulation and run the national grid through it. She's got these big, dangly silver earrings with glass eyeballs, and she's wearing combat pants, a plain white top, and a jacket that is so artfully casual that it probably costs more than I earn in a month. Oh, and there's a copy of Philosophical Transactions on Uncertainty Theory, in her left hand, which she puts down on top of mine. I can't estimate her age. Early 30s? That would make her a real high flyer. She catches me staring at her and stares back, challenging. "Can I buy you a drink?" I ask. She freezes for a moment, then nods emphatically. "Pineapple juice." I wave at the bartender, feeling more than a little flustered. Under her scrutiny, I get the feeling that there's something of the Martian about her, a vast, unsympathetic intelligence from another world. I also get the feeling that she doesn't suffer fools gladly. "I'm sorry," I say. "Nobody told me who to expect." The local businessman looks across from his newspaper expressionlessly. He sees me watching and turns back to the sports pages. "Not your problem." She relaxes a little. The bartender appears and takes an order for a pineapple juice and another beer. I can't seem to get used to these undersized pints, and vanishes again. "I'm interested in a teaching post," I find myself saying, and hope her contact told her what the cover story is. "I'm looking for somewhere to continue after my thesis. UCSC has a good reputation, so..." "Uh-huh. Nice climate, too." She nods at the pelicans outside the window. "Better than Miskatonic." "Really? You were there?" I must have asked too eagerly, because she looks at me bleakly and says, "Yes." I nearly bite my tongue. Foreign female professor of philosophy in the snobbish halls of a New England college? Worse, non-WASP, judging from the Irish accent.
"Some other time. What was the topic of your thesis again?"
Is it my imagination, or does she sound half amused? This isn't part of the script. We're meant to go for a walk and talk about things where we can't be overheard, not ad-lib it in a cafe. Plus, she thinks I'm from the Foreign Office. What the hell does she expect me to say? Early Latin literature? "It's about..." I mentally cross my fingers. "A proof of polynomial time completeness in the traversal of Hamiltonian networks, and its implications." She sits up a bit straighter.
"Oh, right. That's interesting."
I shrug. "It's what I do for a living. Among other things. Where do your research interests lie?" The businessman stands up, folds his newspaper, and leaves.
"Reasoning under conditions of uncertainty."
She squints at me slightly.
"Not prior probability stuff, Bayesian reasoning based on statistics, but reasoning..."